and gentlemen, please welcome Peter Wolf and the Midnight Travelers.
Yeah. suppose. Whatever it is I want, I seem to need a little bit more. Careful, what do you pursue? Choosing it, choosing you. Cause everything around here is pain. My old friend Lil, she's on the top of the heap. Himself. Dear Peter, so sorry I couldn't be with you in that wonderful crowd up in Albany, but I'm down here on an island on the Bahamas having some beautiful young ladies rub oil of roulette all over my touche. Cheers. Sure, Mick. Well, this is going out to Larry and Teresa, and there's all the truck driving ladies might be in the houses, boss. Nothing but, hey, nothing but the wheel, let it be. Leave it all alone. cold night air. Some other time, some other place. But we're always going.
thought it reminded you of my little storytelling. Sometimes when you hear a song, you know, you may be involved in a relationship, and you hear the song and the relationship comes right back. You remember maybe walking on the beach or being with somebody. But every time we play the song or I hear the song, I remember when this song was written. And I wrote it with the great Will Jennings. And Will Jennings wrote these great songs, "A High Love," and Stevie Winwood. He has inherited Eric Clapton. He wrote a bunch of songs for B.B. King. He lives out in Santa Barbara, and I always love to go out and work with Will. He's a very distinguished fella, and he also has a very distinguished wine cellar. And I remember when we wrote this song, it was during the Thanksgiving holidays, because Will, it was Thanksgiving, and I'm from New England, and you're New York, and that whole thing, and I think of Thanksgiving, and I think of Norman Rockwell, big turkey, and the family gathered around. So I said, "Will, it's Thanksgiving." He said, "Yeah, okay," and he made a bologna sandwich. Will's from East Texas. He don't understand what Thanksgiving's all about back east. So I went out and got myself a big turkey. Big turkey, you know. And I just stuck it in his microwave. Will says, "You sure you know what you're doing?" I said, "Of course, man. You see that little plastic thing? When that turkey's done, that thing's going to pop up and we start having turkey." Well, I think you know the end of this story. Well, Will Jennings, this goes out to you some of the time, some of the place.
Some other place.
This is one of the first songs that I wrote and recorded with the Jay Giles Band. I went at hard with Amy Lou Harris, Graham Parsons, James Burton, they recorded it. Elvis Costello recorded it. And Xavier Cuga recorded it. I might be lying about the last thing. But it's the digital age, you can lie about anything. I can put it on Wikipedia and nobody knows the difference. I can say it was Lawrence Welk's biggest hit. Nobody knows the difference. Try one more time! I'm not afraid to what's that thing called in a room with feng shui, whatever it is? Where, what is it? Feng shui. Is that still around?
You get it.
Well, you know,
it,
first there's, you know, feng shui, and then there's gluten. But something's on feng shui here. Hold on.
Feng shui free.
This next song is about the trials and tribulations you might be feeling being in this election time. Well, everybody's got an opinion, I hear you. And I'm not saying I disagree with you. But at the end of it all, when we kind of go to sleep at night, and we're all kind of lying on the pillow, all we really want to find is just a little peace of mind.
Out there in the world,
And when I finally do wake up in the morning, if it's morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I pour myself a strong cup of coffee. And I turn on the radio and look at the newspaper. And man, the world's in a tangle, there's nothing but trials and tribulation going on. They got a drought out in California. They got a flood all over the Delta. There's tornadoes happening in Texas going on up in the Midwest. They're bombing way out here in Europe. Man, sometimes I drive myself crazy and all I try to find is to try to look for a baby. You know, I'm just looking and I look and I try to find it and I try to think about it. I try to say, what the hell am I going on here? And I say, baby, you know, I gotta find it, I gotta find it, I gotta find it, I gotta find it. Songwriter. His name is Don Covey. Yes. Yeah. Don Covey is not that well known, but you know his songs. Chain of Fools, Aretha Franklin. Mercy, Mercy, the Rolling Stones, Jimi Hendrix. I don't know what you got, but you sure got me a little richer. Or, I was checking in while she was checking out. But this song is a song I wrote. Well, we'll do it. Pony time, you got it, Chubby. Check a pony time. Lights out! Blast, blast, blast. But Don Covey and I were writing, and when we were writing, he would get off. It was a hot August day, and he said, man, go and get some wine. We got to have some wine. So I went out and got a bottle of wine, just like that little wine over there. And said, shit, man, that ain't wine. He said, talk about wine, you got a jug. He starts drinking, takes off his shirt, and he starts saying, let me tell you something, man. You're a young punk here in this record business. I've been working with Sam Cooke, Otis Redding, Wilson Pickett. I know all those cats. I know all the shit that goes on. I know how this record company, man, I tell you, man, you cannot trust them. Now, listen, let me tell you a story. This is me. And I'm gone. This is, you know, very theatrical here. Don says to me, man, I had the number one record all around the world with Aretha Franklin, Chain of Fools. So I called up the record company, Jerry Wexler, running Atlantic Records. I said, Jerry, Chain of Fools is number one. But I got something that's going to make number one seem like zero. This song in my head, I tell you, is going to be huge. So Jerry says, Don, bring it over. I want to hear it. No, 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 Jerry. I'm at the Americana Hotel. So you got to, it's in my head. So you got to send me up a piano. Send me a Yamaha 247-306 with a big, big amp. So Jerry Wester, Russian, called up his guy, get down, go over here, Yamaha 247-346 and get it up to his amp. And they'll add up at the Americana Hotel. And so he gets it. Gets the piano, gets the amp. He says, about 10 minutes later, I called up Jerry. I said, Jerry, I got this great guitar line. I need me a guitar. I need me one of them real expensive Les Pauls, one of them super hot amps, just like that. And all of a sudden, he had it up in his hotel room. Then he got a bass. Then he got drums. Then he got conga drums. Man, his hotel room, he told me, looked like a music store. And then he turned, he stopped, took a jug of wine, took a good splash. He said, "Well, you know what I did with that stuff?" I said, "No, Don, what?" He said, "I sold that shit." The guy told me all his record got ripped off. Wilson Pickett got ripped off. Shit, I ain't gonna get ripped off. This is for the great Don Covey. This is one of his songs recorded with him and Jimi Hendrix on guitar. But Duke, you gonna do it up to it. Let me hear you. Come on. Started at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, always listened to Alan Freed, the Big Beat Show. They would carry me off to Jocko's Rocket Ship Show. And Jocko influenced me, and you can probably tell because the show went something like this. And this is the Jocko, the rocket ship machine. I'm saying 10, 8, 9, 6. Oh, baby, I'm picking those tricks. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you're listening to Jocko, gonna have some fun. Hey, bop-a-doo, Hey, Bop-a-day, listen, Jack, and listen all day. And he would go on like that all day, play some of the greatest hits. Then I'd listen to Symphony Sid, live from Birdland. In Symphony, he would play Dinah Washington, and he'd have all the great Latin players down there. And then about 2 o'clock in the morning was the magnificent Montague. And he played the beautiful, soft love ballads. And I'm 10 years old, and I'm listening to all these great songs. And then he says, ladies, I'm going to play a song for you. I'm going to play the great Sam Cooke. But I won't sing. He's going to sing You Send Me. And I, the magnificent Montague, want to make sure I send you. So before I play this record, I want you ladies to take your radio and stick it between your legs. Well, at 10 years old, I don't know what the hell they were talking about. But I do remember on Thursday nights at 10:32, to be exact, I would get this weird station called WWVA Wheeling, West Virginia. DJ was drinking Lee Moore, was his name. Coffee drinking Lee Moore, and he'd be playing this song. All right, now here we got a Kiss song for you, for all the Chuckers going out there. And I was a big, big Everly Brothers fan. Still am a big Everly Brothers fan. Man, when I hear the Everly Brothers, man, it just puts me into contortions. I love them. And all of a sudden, Lee Moore, he was playing on this radio station, he was playing this song by these two young ladies that sounded just like the Everly Brothers. It was beautiful, beautiful harmonies. And I couldn't believe, we're getting a little bit here. Thank you. We couldn't believe who the, you know, who were these ladies. So I'm waiting, find out who these ladies were. And the DJ says, that was the Stanley Brothers. Well, that was my first introduction to a thing called bluegrass. And years later, thanks to a fellow by the name of Mr. Jim Rooney, I got to meet Bill Monroe and spend some time with the father of bluegrass. And so right now, in tribute to Bill Monroe, we'd like to do a little Bill Monroe song fest for you right now. Are you ready, fellas? For the great Bill Monroe.
Yeah, all right, come on.
I grew up in the Bronx, New York. And I had some very distinguished friends that taught me three important things according to them in life. One is how to smoke, two is how to drink, and the most important to them is how to spit. And we would just all hang out, you know, and watch the older guys who were about 14 years old playing stickball and doing all that stuff, stoop ball. And one day one of the guys came up to us and said, "Man, we just saw a movie down at the Globe Theater on 42nd Street. You could see everything." And I'm talking about everything. 11 years old, we go, let's just get there down to the 42nd Street. And there was a gentleman that used to deliver at the Bronx Home News. He was like about 12 years old, but he was one of those guys that looked like he was 47. So we knew that we had to be 18 and over to get into this movie theater, so we took Steven with us. We went down, he bought 5 tickets, and we went into the Globe Theater to see the movie called The Garden of Eden. And so we're sitting there, in a movie seat, we're sitting there, we're watching, all of a sudden, you know, comes the cartoon, and then the news reel of the day, and blah, 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 and finally, The Garden of Eden. And to give you the sort of TV guide synopsis, this young lady is driving in a car, the car breaks down, she has to find a small motel to stay in, she gets into the motel, it's late at night, she goes to sleep, she wakes up in the morning, she opens up the shade, there's a horrified look on her face, and all of a sudden she realizes she's in a nudist colony. Well, we're looking and all of a sudden then we see these shoulders, these heads popping by, nobody's got clothes on. We're looking at the screen, man, and all of a sudden, walking behind bushes. Damn! I don't see everything. All of a sudden, this hot babe comes walking out, and she's behind another bush. Then the camera slowly pans, and then there's this leg. There goes this little toe. The camera closes up on the toe. And move slowly to the ankle, lying on this beautiful beach chair. And it goes up to the thigh. And we're all realizing this.
We're going to see everything.
And the camera's slowly moving up, slowly. And we're getting pressed against the screen until Steve Pritzky yells out, "Oh my God, my mother has that same beach chair." This is going out to all the boys in the Bronx. Unfortunately, most of them are not with us anymore. And I'd like to send it out. He wasn't one of these guys, but he was one of my heroes growing up. He lived a couple of blocks away from me, Dion DiMucci. Yeah. And Dion's still going out there strong, and this is going out to him and all the Bronx boys called It Was Sure Fun. Fun for a while. Drinking that river dry.
was thin. Go on and back again. It was fun for a while. Sure was fun for a while. It was fun. Fun for a while.
Thank you. At this time, it would be a sin and I'd be amiss if I didn't introduce these incredible, great artists that are behind me tonight. I would not be here if it was not for their talents. And we record together, we hang together, we drink together, we do a lot of things together. But every night, I'm in awe of that artistry. And I'd like to formally introduce them to you, these great artists, starting from my dyslexic left or right, depending. What is it, my left?
Stage left.
Your
stage left.
Left.
Well, if you're looking this way.
Stage right.
Stage right.
He's stage right. If I go this way, he's stage left. From the Appalachian Hills, a gentleman that was weaned on Genesee cream ale. From Old Island, New York. At the age of 9, his daddy put him on a stool, a bar stool, and he was playing in a honky-tonk. I call him Lefty because he reminds me of the great Lefty Frizzell. I'm talking about the one, the only, the incomparable, the incredible, the great Kevin Barry on guitar right now. Kevin Barry, come on! He gave up Genesee cream ale for bourbon. And a shooter right on the side, right? They go together. Very nice. A gentleman from the Ocean State. Very good. 10 points. Give that man a free t-shirt. Very distinguished gentleman. Also distinguished in the Rhode Island Jazz Hall of Fame. I call him Dr. Jazz right there. The one, the only, the incomparable, the great Marty Blue on the Big Up Right there. Put you in the Jazz Hall of Fame. You show it. Well, now we know why you're in the Jazz Hall of Fame, I tell you. From the high hills of Connecticut, and I do mean high, from Tolan, Connecticut, the one and only, the man is stomping on them little skins, let me hey man, Tom Airy on the drum. Get on up there, big Tom Airy. One more time, Tom Airy. One more time, come on, Tom Airy. Show them if you can get into the Connecticut Jazz Hall of Fame. Come on, give me a little something. Hey! And last but not least, from Worcester, Massachusetts, as I always like to say, home of the smiley face, home of the birth control pill, and home of our maestro, our leader, the great one, Duke Levine on the guitar right there. And if you want to hear some great, great music, Duke Levine has put out some great CDs. There's some available wherever they're out there somewhere. You should get them. And you can get them also on DukeLevine.com. Is that correct? Not DukeLevine.net. Not DukeLevine.org. Duke Levine. How do you spell that? L-E-V-I-N-E. Yeah, there you go. Capital. Any capital? Doesn't matter. www.n. Speaking of bourbon, this is going out to a double-fisted bourbon drinker, man, somebody who I had the pleasure of recording with, man. This chick is so hot, man. She got me on the spot, man. She got me down on my knees. I was saying, baby, baby, please don't leave me, because if you leave me, it's going to be nothing but a tragedy. Yeah. Oh,
Thank you.
so much. Yeah. We're very honored to share the stage with Larry and Teresa and the band.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank David Hughes working the sound for us. Josh Cole for working so hard and carrying all the heavy equipment. And of course, we'd like to thank Ms. Frida Epstein, who does all the Facebook and all the kind of crazy website stuff. And we're getting a little woo here. But I know this might sound like showbiz schlocking and all that jive you hear, like, you know, oh man, I love you, you're beautiful. Oh, you're beautiful too, man, I love you. But from the bottom of my heart, on behalf of the Midnight Travelers and myself, I really want to thank you for all the many, 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 many years of loyal support. Yeah. I want to thank you all for coming out tonight. It means a lot. I know it means a lot to Larry and Teresa. It means a lot to us that you come on out, pay your hard-earned money, come out here. We hope we get it to you. We hope we give you what you wanted. And remember, it's you and you. And you, and even George with the crazy hats, man, and even you too, George. So, baby, I need you tonight.
Tomorrow.
Thank you so much for being a great audience. On behalf of Larry, Teresa, the Midnight Travelers, and myself,
we are.